Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
Hello, I'm Jim Richards, and I want to welcome you to this month's series, Living in the Faith of Jesus. And today, we're going to talk specifically about what the faith of Jesus really means, what it's all about, how that affects us, how that changes our whole world. Listen, you can get this entire series at www.impactministries.com. And I want you to be sure and share this on Facebook with all of your friends. Pop this out to people, because I'm telling you, people are struggling with their own faith and struggling with whether or not their faith is enough. But when you realize the truth about the faith of Jesus, you're going to realize that it is so easy to believe for your part of this. You don't have to believe for his part. You don't have to believe for God's part. All you've got to believe for is your part. And when you discover what your part is, I'm telling you, you're going to shout for joy, and you're going to finally say, my faith is sufficient. I've got enough faith. So be sure and let everybody know. Get your notepads out. Get ready, because here we go. This month, we're sharing a special on one of my most powerful series called 3 Days That Changed the World. If there's ever been any series you want to listen to beyond the gospel of peace, this would be it, because you're going to discover what really happened from the cross to the throne. And until you believe what happened from the cross to the throne, what Jesus went through using his faith to conquer death, hell, the grave, sin, sickness, disease, and the devil, then you cannot live in absolute victory. This week, we're talking about the faith of Jesus and this whole series, Living in the Faith of Jesus. You know, I couldn't even think about what to call this series, because this is so life-encompassing. This touches so many areas of your life. There's nothing about any part of your belief system that's not going to be influenced by this series. But the greatest thing about this is, just like I was talking about in the introduction, man, this is going to get you away from this struggling to make your faith work, this struggling to see if you got enough faith to solve whatever problem you're facing. You know, it's really interesting. When you look at the word temptation in the New Testament, you know, originally, you know, just like all other words, we have these kind of common religious concepts of what they mean. And you know, we all know that that temptation is when we have a solicitation, you know, to do evil. Well, you know, in our infantile concepts of that, we immediately think that okay, when we think temptation, we think about the tempter, and all of the emphasis is placed on the tempter, on the devil being the one that's causing this temptation to come to you. Well, when you look at this passage of scripture here, and you know, I mentioned this on Facebook one time, and I got a really ugly Facebook message back from somebody telling me how stupid I was. But if I'm stupid, then I guess the Bible's stupid, which is not the case. But you know, it goes on to say in there that when we're tempted, we're drawn away of our own desire. Excuse me, we're drawn away of our own desire, and so you start realizing that the big struggle with temptation is not what's going on out there; it's what's going on in here. It's something that I desire. It's something that I want. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting something. As a matter of fact, the Bible says God knows that there's things that you need. In Matthew 6:33, he says, it's all right. God knows you need all of these things. And as long as you keep the kingdom of God first and his righteousness first, God will add these things to you. You just don't want to get caught up in heaven and try to seek these things and try to make all these things happen. And I'll tell you, most of us burn up what we call our faith. We burn it up. We consume our faith. We consume ourselves emotionally trying to get things that the Bible said don't worry about. God knows that you have need of them. Don't even try to seek them. Just put all that aside and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you know, that throws you into the serendipity principle. And the serendipity principle is when you discover things that you need or want or value while you're looking for something else. Well, if you're looking for the kingdom of God first, and if you're looking for his righteousness first, walking that path and following him, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to discover everything you're going to need for life. You know, I could just stop right there, and if we all got that, suddenly we would realize that the only thing that we really need to use our faith for is just for seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But fortunately, we're not going to stop there. But, you know, Jesus says in other places, so there's things that you desire when you pray. So there's nothing wrong with having desires. There's nothing wrong with praying about things. There's nothing wrong with wanting our needs to be taken care of. But interestingly, coming back to this whole thing about temptation, temptation starts with a desire. So when a desire or a need emerges in your life, it's either going to take you to a place of fulfillment. It's going to take you to a place of joy, because the Bible says that a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. It's going to take you to something that's going to get fulfilled. It's going to connect you with God. It's going to glorify God. Or it's going to take you to another place, and it's going to be a place of striving. It's going to be a place of difficulty. And it's going to be a place where you end up in temptation. You end up desiring to do something really that's ungodly, or to do something that's evil. So it says when a man's tempted, he said he's drawn away of his own lust. And that word lust just means desire. But really, to even get what that means, we got to look back at the word temptation. Because the word temptation is more than just a solicitation to do evil. The word temptation, or the word to be tempted, it really means to be tested, to be tried, to have that feeling of being scrutinized. For years, I just stopped there, because at the time, back in those days, the Greek tools that I had were good tools, a little limited. But you know something? I discovered that it basically comes down to anything that causes you to strive or to strain at something. And you start realizing that when a desire comes, you're either going to enter into this place of rest because of how your faith works. And you're going to enter this place of rest and peace, and you're going to keep following God, and you're not going to take your attention off of following God. You're not going to take your attention off of what's important because you desire something. You're just going to keep following God, and along the path of following God, that desire is going to come to fruition. That's what you call the serendipity principle. Or you're going to think that you've got to have enough faith and work enough faith and work some kind of a formula to make this thing come to pass. And I'll tell you, that's when you start striving. That's when faith, what you call faith, moves from the place of believing and trusting in something that has already happened, and it starts moving you into this place of trying to get something to happen, trying to bring something to pass. And before long, after you go down this road, you don't realize it, but now all of your faith is being consumed, if you will, or being focused, if you will, on this desire that you have, and your faith is no longer focused on following God, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you know something? It's just like driving down the road. You know, when I learned how to drive when I was a kid, and you know, anytime I say that, I think about my crazy life and my crazy background, because you know, I had an uncle that I would live with in the summers, and so he, you know, he taught me how to drive pretty much when I was about 9 or 10 years old, to some large degree. But you know, but I remember when I finally learned how to really drive well, I was doing something illegal, but basically I was in a car that wasn't mine, and I remember I wasn't good with a straight stick, and I was driving this thing, and I was on these old curvy Tennessee roads, driving through the hills and all this kind of stuff. Now, one of the things that they told us when we first started driving, and I hope they're still telling you this, is when you meet another car, don't look at their headlights. Now, see, that's a problem that you have whenever you're afraid, and you know you don't want to hit this other car that's coming. And so the tendency is to think that if I look at that other car, that other set of headlights coming this way, that then I can tell for sure if I'm going to miss that car or not. But you know this: if you look at that other set of headlights, you always begin to go toward what you're looking at, what you're focusing on. And I'll tell you, you'll have your head-on collision in a heartbeat if you try to navigate on the highway by looking at the headlights of the oncoming traffic. Well, that's sort of how life is. You take your eyes off of where you're going. You take your eyes off of what's important, and you put your eyes on something that you need, or you put your eyes on something that you desire, and before long, without realizing it, you have veered into the pathway of disaster. Before long, you are off course, and you don't even know it because you're in faith, man. You're praying in the name of Jesus. You're speaking the word of God out there. You're trying to make things come to pass, and the truth is, God's trying to lead you right into the things that you need. He's trying to fulfill your desires. Listen, God wants you happy. God wants you fulfilled. Jesus didn't die for nothing, and God is a yes God. He's not saying, well, no, I'm going to check you out. I'm going to see whether or not you pass the test. If you're in Jesus, then you pass the test. If you're in Jesus, you're qualified. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:19 that our message, this message that we give from God, is not yes and no, and it's not maybe, it's not sometimes, it's not we'll pray about it and see. It's yes. God's message is yes. God's answer is always yes. But here's the deal. God's always trying to lead you into how that yes comes about. And most of us don't want it that way. Most of us have a way that we want the miracles to come to pass. Most of us have a way that we want healings to come to pass. Most of us have a way that we want to see things happen. And so we're using our faith to make it work the way we want it to work. And before long, we're not even really following God. Man, man, oh man. What's the solution? The solution is, I've got to discover what the Bible is talking about when it refers to the faith of Jesus. And I've got to discover what it means, what it looks like to live and function in the faith of Jesus. Now, this is April. This is when we celebrate the resurrection. And if there's ever been a time that we should understand the faith of Jesus and what the faith of Jesus really means and how that applies to every aspect of our salvation as well as every aspect of every miracle that we need in our life, every desire being fulfilled, every need being met, we need to understand how the faith of Jesus plays into that. And that's where we want to go today, and that's where we want to go in this series. Let me just read you this scripture in case you're not familiar with this concept of the faith of Jesus. One particular scripture, Galatians 2:16, says this, and this is talking about our righteous standing before God. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, man, this gets right down to the very core, the very essence of everything about our life with God, because everything revolves around righteousness. I tell you, every religious argument, every time we're really struggling to get a prayer answered or believe God's going to answer prayer, it gets down to what we believe about righteousness, about whether or not we believe that we are righteous enough for God to answer our prayers, to move in our life, and this sort of thing. Well, this scripture is talking about, just like many scriptures, how that the law cannot make you righteous. And you know, there are still people today that they don't know it, but they're Judaizers. They believe that Jesus is the Messiah and that you believe on Jesus to get born again, but that you keep the law to become righteous. And the truth is, Galatians tells us, Galatians 2:21 explains to us that if we're trusting in some works of the law, like in this book they were addressing the issue of circumcision, if we were trusting in circumcision, or if we were trusting in anything else to make us righteous, our obedience to any other ceremony or procedure, then it says that we would neutralize the grace of God. And so grace would not be working in our lives. And even though, like these Galatians, we would be born again. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's no power in it. There's no life in it. It's not doing anything. It's not working in our lives. We're just kind of saved and struggling. Well, nobody wants to live there. But it says here that we are made righteous by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what has the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ got to do with my righteousness? And if I'm made righteous by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, then why do I have to have faith? Well, I will tell you something. That's an issue that people all over the world are struggling with today. As people begin to discover faith righteousness, and as people begin to discover the message of grace, then some people get into error and they think, well, if Jesus is using his faith to make me righteous, I don't need faith. I don't need to believe for righteousness. Well, you know, if you go down that logic, you're just one skip away from saying, oh, well, wait a minute. If Jesus is using his faith to make me righteous, then he's made the whole world righteous. And then from there, you're one skip away from saying, oh, well, wait a minute. Nobody even has to believe on Jesus to get born again. Well, that's not what it's saying. That's not what it's talking about. How does the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ apply to my righteousness? Now, you know, when I thought about this title this series I'm preaching, and of course the series we're offering this month is 3 days that change the world, and I'm telling you, it will change everything about your faith. It'll change everything about understanding and believing what Jesus really did for you at the cross. It will change. It'll really bring Jesus to the center of your salvation. Jesus is really not the center of most people's salvation. He's close to the sinners, but the truth is, in most arenas, self is at the center of salvation. And Jesus is just real close by. Well, I want to tell you something. Jesus needs to be our center, our focus. He needs to be everything to us that we're ever gonna need and need to believe in order to experience the salvation of God. Now, when Jesus died, the truth is that he was a man. He emptied himself. He was the Son of God, but he was a man. He was born of a virgin. That means he did not have a sinful nature, but he was still a man. And as a man, he had to have desires or he could not have been tempted. So you get into a place that most people are not even willing to venture because their ideas about Jesus are so religious, so come out of mythology or so come out of the medieval dark ages of church doctrine instead of out of what the Bible says. But Jesus became a man. And when Jesus walked this earth, he walked this earth as a man that did not have a sin nature, that relied on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit brought the grace of God into his life. And so we get to see what grace looks like in somebody's life. And you don't see Jesus running wild. You don't see Jesus saying, you know, it doesn't matter how I live because I'm under grace and not under the law. No, you see Jesus yielding to the grace of God. And you see it turning his life, empowering his life for something productive, something incredible to fulfill his destiny and his ministry. So he lives his life as a man, the Son of God, but as a man. He had no inherent powers as the Son of God. He was totally limited in every way to exactly how we are limited, in any way that we're limited. So at the end of his life, Jesus goes to the cross, as you know, and he's crucified. Well, when Jesus was on the cross, what we fail to connect with here is that Jesus had to become sin. Now, the Bible says that he became the propitiation for the sins of the entire world, not just for our sins, not just for the sins of those that believe, but Jesus took the punishment for the sins of every person that was alive and every person that would ever be alive. And he took the punishment for every sin before you got saved, since you've been saved, and every sin that you'll ever commit in the future. He wiped the slate clean. He made it where God's wrath had been totally satisfied concerning all man's sin, so that all men could come to God and have absolutely no fear, absolutely no dread of coming to God. They'd never come to God and have a fear that God was going to say, no, you know, you got to go deal with your stuff before I'm willing to talk to you. No, until you stop smoking, I'm not going to answer your prayer. No. All Jesus took care of it all. Now, just before Jesus died, he uttered these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, I'll tell you what, there are people that have tried to explain that verse away. There are people today that have doctrines that try to say, well, that wasn't really what Jesus meant. Well, it was prophesied that Jesus would say those words. Why would he say those words? I'll tell you why. Because we would be forsaken if we were, if we had not been made righteous, we would have been forsaken of God at this point in time, and we would have had died, and we would have gone to Hades. Now, Hades is not hell. King James uses the word interchangeably. But Jesus dies, and he goes to Hades, the abode of the wicked. Why? Because he had become sin. He had to bear our sins unto the ultimate punishment, which was separation from God. But in Hades, Jesus used his faith. Now, Jesus wasn't trying to convince God to raise him from the dead. But Jesus, being limited in every way like we are, in the abode of the wicked, in the abode of absolute darkness, in total alienation from God, all he had to cling to were the promises of God. All he had to cling to was what God said about him. Now understand, in him we all died. All of our sin, every part of us that needs to die, died with him. Everything except our physical body died with Jesus. And we are buried with him. We are in the grave with him. And Jesus could have lost this battle, but he didn't. Jesus used his faith. And we're going to look at this. We're going to look at the scriptures about this. And if you get this series on 3 days that changed the world, I'll go into details about this that we can't go into here. But I promise you, I'm going to give you enough in these programs that it's going to change your world. Jesus used his faith to be raised up out of the death of sin and to be raised up into the righteousness or the newness of life. So people say, well, nobody was righteous. No, he was righteous before he became our sin. In his own self, he committed no sins. And we can't get our heads around that. But he became our sins. And so it might as well have been his sins because he died and our sins held him in the grave. And however you want to get your head around it, that's fine. But you got to realize he had to use his faith to be raised up out of the death of sin and into righteousness. And since we were in him, that means that we were raised up with him into righteousness by his faith. So if I'm trying to use my faith for righteousness, then I'm rejecting the faith of Jesus, because the faith of Jesus is what raised you and me up in righteousness. My faith is not trying to believe that God will make me righteous. It's not that if I believe hard enough, I'll become righteous. It's to believe that I was in Jesus and he used his faith to raise both of us up in righteousness. And so through the faith of Jesus, and it doesn't just stop there with just righteousness. We're going to get into how this applies to your health, your healing, every aspect of your world. Through the faith of Jesus, we have been raised up into newness of life. Now listen, we're going to go into a lot, come back for my mentoring moment. I'll be right back. If you're in Edmonton, I want to invite you April the 4th through the 7th to the Doxa Conference. We're going to be talking about 3 days that changed everything. And then May 16th through the 18th, we're going to be in Victoria, B.C. for a Limitless Living Seminar. And I'll tell you something. If you're having trouble keeping up with all the stuff that comes out of here, my daily quotes, my daily inspirations, be sure and get our phone app. If you get our phone app every day, you'll get an inspirational quote from me. You'll get our magazine on it. You'll get our Impact Television on it. You'll get my itinerary on it. You'll get all the things that we have. Plus, you'll get all kinds of special offers that nobody else doesn't get. So be sure, April the 4th through the 7th, Edmonton, Canada, Doxa Ministries, May 16th through the 18th, Victoria, BC, Canada, Limitless Living Weekend. It's going to be an incredible time. I want you to be there. I love it when I get to meet you, and be sure and let me know that you saw this. I want to know that you're watching our program because we're trying to reach the whole world. 3 days that changed the world is probably one of the most important, if not the most important messages you're ever going to hear about what we need to believe about Jesus. You see, when the Bible talks about our faith in Jesus, it's not just the faith in what he did when he walked planet Earth. It's faith in what he did on the cross, after the cross, and at the throne. Until you believe the truth about what happened from the cross to the throne, you're just experiencing a limited portion of what Jesus died to give you. Thanks for joining me in this broadcast. I'm hoping that you're getting something out of this. And I know we just barely scratched the surface. And I know you got to be thinking, you started out talking about temptation, and you ended up talking about the resurrection. Well, how does this connect together? Listen, when you find yourself straining, when you find yourself striving to believe something, you've got to ask yourself a question. Is this something that Jesus already used his faith to resolve? You see, you don't have to solve a problem that Jesus already solved. You don't have to believe for something to happen that Jesus has already believed and brought about by his faith. All you've got to do at that point is decide whether or not you believe what he's done. That may seem minimal to you, but that's really the heart of the faith walk of the believer. The faith walk of the believer is not trying to have enough faith to believe to make all of these things happen. The faith walk of the believer is believing in what Jesus has already made happen. So when you find yourself having a desire or a need, the question you've got to ask is, did Jesus do anything about this through his death, burial, and resurrection? If it's a problem, did he solve it? If it's a need, did he obtain it? And in future programs here, we're going to be talking about the inheritance. And this is really, really, really important. And if that's the case, then you decide whether or not you trust in what he has done. And you acknowledge to yourself, Jesus obtained this by his faith. I am in him. Therefore, I share in his inheritance. And it's really just that simple. Listen, every single day here at Impact Ministries, we are doing everything we can to encourage people to believe on the finished work of Jesus, to connect with what he has really done for you, to help set you free from the stress and the burden and the oppression of religion. And religion tells us half-truths that are just true enough to get us bogged down. That's why every day I send out an inspirational message. Every single day we do something. That's why we have a magazine, all these things. Be sure, go to our homepage and download our mobile app so that every single day you're getting all of these things that will help encourage you free of charge. They'll be a blessing to you, and they will help you stay connected to the faith of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts, videos, and our monthly Impact magazine. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.